dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday edition. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking with Noah Keller, the Kearney Bearcat, and, of course, co-MVP of the MAC Championship game, going to join us here just a little bit live in studio. We're going to be talking with Brian Munson from Big Red Report about Nebraska recruiting. Daddy, a couple in, a couple leaving.
Well, offensively, it's tough for me to fault kids that start to see the most successful part of our offense this season was the two tight ends and a fullback and that power football. When you want to be a playmaker on offense, Gabbert says he wants to throw the ball 40 times a game, and you get a wide receiver who wants to catch the ball a little bit of the time, and we weren't doing that. Now, I don't know if these kids are that good. I think come in and compete, put your offense around them. That's pretty simple. The game will fit with the players you have.
And the latest two commitments, neither one are on offense. Even though they're JUCO, neither one of them on offense.
We've got an offensive lineman, don't we? A tackle? We got a tackle and a
linebacker and an O-tackle. I thought it was a linebacker and a D-tackle. Let me double check.
I think we got an offensive tackle, so maybe somebody.
Yeah, okay, all right. 6'7", 315. I guess that's an offensive tackle. There you go. So he's coming in, both listed highly on the scouts.com, rivals.com websites. Also, Joe DeMeo joins us from fantasyplayersedge.com. Most fantasy football players are heading into their playoff season starting this week. Did you make the playoffs in any of your leagues?
The only one I can. Of course, we're leading the league. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it is pretty amazing.
You got to see the guys in this league, so it's no big surprise there. But, yeah, win number one will come Sunday. I feel pretty confident about that.
You think you're going to hoist the Penn Trophy, are you?
Oh, we face the White Rooster, and I feel good about it.
White Rooster put up like 160 last week just to make the playoffs. Beat down some chump. I don't know who it was, some chump. Beat him down.
Yeah, I feel good about where we're at.
So that's all coming up. NFL Power Rankings, will there be any changes there with Minnesota getting thumped around by Arizona? We'll have those for you as well coming up on the program today. Looks like finally, maybe, everything's going to get back to normal a little bit today. Most of the schools, well, all of the schools are back in session. Most of them got started on time today. And there will be some athletic competition tonight. And when that gets going, I guess that kind of makes everybody forget what's going on out there. But it's still that pretty. It's still that pretty. A lot of people out there for the first time today don't really, they're not good drivers. Let me just, they're not good.
75 last week. I don't remember that. 70 degrees, what, 10 days ago? They're not raised
like
this.
Last week, yeah. Get behind anybody with a Texas license plate on a day like this. Unless it's Mac Brown. Because then you know he'll be in a big old whatever he wants to drive. They restructured his contract yesterday. $5 million a year. He is the highest paid coach in any sport in the country at $5 million a year from $3 million a year. Let me ask you, who gets a 67% pay increase ever?
I don't know. I suppose you'd look at the money that Texas is reaping the rewards of this season, and I think it's pretty easy to give him that.
Probably. You think any of that's going to the replay official from Saturday night? Playing for the national championship, all of a sudden, restructured contract. Through 2016, $5 million.
Now, a large part of that, we mentioned what Bo Pelini got and the bonuses he got for making the Big 12 title. A lot of that was built in already, that he was going to get $500,000 to win that game, and upwards maybe of $750,000. So, really, there was some stuff built in there. It sounds like a big jump, but I think part of that was already built in there.
And Ndamukong Suh, 2-for-2, he wins the Lombardi Award last night. Fifth Husker to ever win the award, goes to the best college lineman, whether it's on offense or defense. Tonight, It is the ESPN College Football Award Show, the Outland Trophy, the Mednarik Award, and the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award. Sue is up for those three. I believe there's 9 or 10 total awards that are going to be handed out tonight. And, Daddy, before he flies to Orlando, Noah Keller joins us in studio here today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Noah, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Well, we're all right. You got back just in time for the blizzard of 09, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, you know, to come back in and get nailed with 9-12 inches of snow.
Have you swim down?
Nah, I don't know about that. Maybe maybe a little bit, maybe trimming up a little bit, but I'm still hanging over 230 a little bit, so.
Well, great, great game. I think a lot of people in Central Nebraska, of course, watch that game, mostly because of you and Coach Solich. Mm-hmm. Obviously going to be co-MVP or defensive MVP, whatever you want to say, of that ball game. Got to chase Dan LeFevre around the yard a little bit, make several tackles. I knew you were in on a bunch of tackles. I didn't know you were in on that many tackles. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it goes. You know, they came up to me after the game and you know, told me I had 16 tackles and set the record. And, you know, I mean, I knew I was running around making plays, and it's one of those things you can't really, you know, try and think about it during the game. It's not like you ever really have time to think, wow, you know, I'm playing well, I'm having a good game, doing this and this and that, because, you know, you don't want to jinx it, you know, I guess.
Is that the toughest offense you got? You guys have got to play at some great places while you've been at Ohio, but is that one of the toughest offenses, Dan LeFevre, and that just slinging it all over?
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you know, he just doesn't make mistakes, and, you know, that's one of the big things that we were trying to force him to do, was trying to force him to throw interceptions. We got one there in that first drive. And but then after that, they held onto the ball pretty well. And that was something our defense had done well the whole year. We were first in the nation in turnover in producing turnovers. So, and we didn't do a good enough job doing that. And, you know, just kind of got ourselves in a hole there that first half. And it was we were having a hard time stopping their offense. They were averaging a lot of yards of play. But I think the second half, we made some adjustments and came out. We're playing better on defense the second half.
Noah Keller joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You mentioned being number one in forcing turnovers. I think that was, I don't think they were number one in the country, but that was one of the reasons Buffalo made it to the MAC championship, won the MAC championship last year. Is there something different that you guys do? Every coach says, well, we work on it. And sometimes for the fans, it's hard to grasp, well, how do you work on forcing turnovers? Take us a little bit about through what you guys do in practice to try and get better at that.
Yeah, well, the turnover margin is, you know, probably one of the most important stats out of any football game. And last year, we were one of the worst in the country in turnover margin and producing turnovers. So the whole offseason, our coaches stressed it, you know, made sure that we knew that, you know, going after the ball and getting the ball out was, you know, one of the most important things we had to do. So, you know, every Wednesday practice, we always start out, you know, a good 5-10 minute turnover circuit we're working on, stripping the ball, scooping and scoring, you know, ball drills. You know, we always work on, you know, when we're hitting the quarterback to try and, you know, get the sack fumble. And so I think it definitely paid off. You know, the coaches made sure that they stressed it the whole offseason, and then we'd spend time every practice doing that, and it paid off.
No favorite place to play since you've been at Ohio?
Virginia Tech my freshman year was a lot of fun. Really, really loud. Stands go straight up, and they're on top of you, and it's just loud the entire game.
Noah Keller's with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We talked with Noah before the year began. You wanted to win the MAC. You wanted to win against Buffalo, which I think was your number one goal going in. And you wanted to have all of the kind of season that you had had the year before. What goals did you think you lived up to? And what I don't know if anything fell short except winning last week, but what would have been different as far as that plus minuses from what you thought at the beginning of the year?
I mean, it was nice getting out there and taking care of business in our conference for the most part. Winning the MAC East Championship was you know, the main goal, and then getting to the MAC Championship and winning it. You know, it's good to be able to go back to a bowl game to go to the conference championship. But one thing, you know, that we were trying not to do was, you know, just kind of become complacent in getting to the conference championship. You know, we wanted to make sure that we got there and we won it, and that was one thing that our coaches were stressing the whole time.
Danny, I thought this interesting. Every year, Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN.com goes out and he ranks the bowls. You know, not necessarily what is not necessarily the national championship is always going to be number one, but it is this year because it's Alabama, it's Texas, it's two unbeaten teams, and he ranks all 34 of them. Well, Nebraska, last time that they went to a bowl game, I believe way down, the Holiday Bowl, 11th. So I'm looking, there's the top 10, there's the top 20, there's the top 30, and there's 34 bowl games, and the 34th bowl game Ohio and Marshall in the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. Mark says, playing the Bobcats in Detroit was so enticing that Marshall coach Mark Schneider resigned after the Thundering Herd's final regular season game, and a new coach will coach them against Ohio. No, I guess just your thoughts when you see something like that.
I think it's going to be a very competitive game, and it's going to be a fun game. I don't think it's going to be that way.
And I'm not sure exactly how to take that. Whether he thinks it's going to be the worst game because 9-3 against 6-6 of the matchup, or just maybe not a lot of people outside of those directly impacted by the program are going to be interested. But these bowl games obviously become huge, hopefully to spur you on for the next season.
Mm-hmm. It's always, you get another, 2-3 weeks of practice, and that's one thing that'll definitely help, helps out a lot of teams. I know that there's some teams that until every bowl is filled, if they're eligible, they'll keep their teams up there and they'll keep them practicing. And just the amount of practice that I think you're able to get in with the NCAA regulating that so much, that, that's probably one of the bigger things. It's just, helps you get that much better.
Noah, do you like practice? Is going to football practice still? When you go play Division I football, you must enjoy some aspect of it.
Yeah.
Or you sure as hell wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I enjoy going to practice and, enjoy the meetings and stuff like that. It's still fun for me. I still enjoy it a lot, or else I wouldn't be playing it.
You said before the show, body feels different just in a couple years, though. When you first got to Ohio, you'd hear these guys?
Yeah, it was one of those things. You'd show up and you'd see these guys that were, limping around, and I'd saying, oh, I feel so bad, I feel like an old man. And, I was just saying the whole time, I feel fine, I don't know what they're talking about. Come, a few years later, and about a few couple thousand snaps later, I definitely know how they're feeling. It's hard to get out of the bed in the morning sometimes. Shoulders, knees hurt and kill all the time, and you're just, Sundays after the game are, usually worst day of the week.
The atmosphere in Detroit for the championship, a lot of people, a lot of fans, mm-hmm. It's a proximity to that conference, a good time in Detroit.
Yeah, it was a good time in Detroit, except for the fact we lost. Yeah. But it was fun playing there. Got to play in a dome, so I didn't have to worry about the weather this time. But Central definitely had a good showing of fans there, being from Michigan.
Noah Keller's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, Kearney Bearcat, and now with Ohio, and going to be getting ready for his senior and final season. As you get ready to go into that final season, I guess you're going to be looked at even more as a captain because you were a captain this past season. Mm-hmm. What's left for Noah Keller at Ohio?
Well, still have that MAC championship that we have to get. Just dominate our conference. Want to be able to lead my team to a great season, best season we've ever had. That's always been one of my goals, going into senior year. Just like I did here in high school, take them to, best season they've ever had. And so, that's what I'm planning on doing next year.
Which one of the losses this year do you wish you had over?
Probably either the Connecticut or Tennessee. Get those games back. Those games were close, and they could have went our way so easily, and just didn't get a couple breaks.
Connecticut, of course. Tennessee, big wins. Connecticut beats Notre Dame at Notre Dame, but you guys are right there with those guys. So mid-major making some noise along the way.
Yep, I'd say next year it's about time we knock off one of those big-time schools.
And you get to go back to Ohio State next year.
Yeah, that'll be our biggest game next year.
Who else is on the schedule for next year for you?
I think for non-conference, my freshman year we played at Louisiana Lafayette, so they're going to be... we're going to be playing them. We're playing Marshall and then probably some D1 AA school like we always do every year.
Coach Solich, how's things going with him?
Hey, it's going great. He's had a great season this year. He's doing a great job for us out there. And, I get along great with him. He's a great coach. I'm glad to be playing for him.
Is he a fun guy to be around?
Yeah, he's lots of fun. He's a funny guy. Pretty dry sense of humor like me, so I think that's why we get along pretty well.
Kind of like you, Daddy, with that dry sense of humor that you have.
I can deal with Frank.
You can?
I like Frank. I always liked Frank.
Well, yeah, we always did. We had Coach Solich on a couple times, and always great to talk to him. What's the team going to look like next year? Who are you losing? Who's coming in? What do you know about what your team will be like as far as actual players next year?
Next year I think we'll be even better than what we were this year. We return You know, there's a lot of guys on the team that are going to be a year older, have another year of experience, and we do lose some key players. There's a couple of linemen, lose starting quarterback, a good wide receiver, but and on defense we lose a couple linebackers, return every D lineman, and lose some defensive backs. But for the most part, I think we're going to be probably returning more starters, more guys with significant playing time next year than I think we ever have, probably.
You got a wide receiver you expect to see drafted, perhaps, when April comes?
Taylor Price has had a great year for us, and he's one of those guys. Kind of reminds you of, like, who was the wide receiver from North Carolina who went real
high? Hakeem Nicks.
Nicks, yeah.
Kind of one of those guys, maybe, or the guy from Maryland.
NC State for Hayward Bay, wasn't it? Anyway.
And, you know, he's one of those guys. He's got, you know, speed. He's got fast track speed. You know, I mean, the kid can move, and he's got good hands, a good size. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, come combine, he'll put up some good numbers.
Cool. Is that anything you think about? Is there post-college football in your future?
You know, it's a goal. You know, it's one of those things. You're in high school, and you're, you know, trying to win games, but you're trying to get to that next level, and that's kind of thing I'm doing now is, you know, I'm trying to win games, trying to, you know, make my team the best I can. And if I take care of it on Saturdays, I can be taking care of it on Sundays, too.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here, Daddy. This comes from RJ, and Carney wants to know how the classwork's going.
Oh, does he? It's going well. You know, I mean, I'm a pre-med student, and that's going very well. You know, it keeps you busy. It's hard. I mean, it's hard. You know, trying to balance time between, you know, tough biology and chemistry classes and being able to, you know, stay competitive in football and, you know, spend as much time as I do with that. So I'm usually always pretty busy, but.
After your freshman year, you kind of get rid of the study halls and do it on your own, or you still have to go to that stuff?
No, I was able to get out of it because I had a high enough GPA.
Because he's smart.
I got pretty good study habits.
I'd still be in those damn study halls.
Yeah, he's going to. You going to be a doctor, or what are you going to be?
That's the plan. You know, got a few family doctors. My brother's done now, and he's got med school interviews here coming up. So that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, try and become a doctor.
Well, brother, of course, just got to play in his own bowl game or postseason game in Kansas there for UNO.
Yep. You know, another kind of disappointing game. They lost it right there at the end. And but he's, you know, had a great time playing football, so.
He's a beast. I think we should have had him here.
No, when do you go back? When does practice kick up? Because the bowl game's the day after Christmas.
About a week. Got to go back the 16th and start practicing after that. I think we're doing about 10, 14 days of practice, something like that.
Different school set up for Ohio, obviously, if you're not.
Yeah.
If you get 10 days off here, you're not going to classes, obviously.
Yeah, we're on a, you know, quarter system, like the trimester kind of schedule. So I've been done with class since I had my finals, you know, right before Thanksgiving. I was done before Thanksgiving. And so I've had, you know, haven't been doing anything, just been sitting around. It's been all athletes on campus, pretty much.
Have you been watching a lot of other college football then during this time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a, you know, big college football fan. I always like seeing how, you know, other teams are doing and just like good games. So I've been, you know, watching a lot of college and pro ball.
Do you watch it a little differently than the general fan does? Do you keep an eye on the linebacker, or do you just like to sit back and enjoy the whole game?
It's hard not to. One thing you notice is that, you know, certain plays will be going on, and you kind of, you know, oh, hey, we run that play, or we do this, or we do that. And, you know, a lot of times you find yourself, you know, trying to, like, just in your head to announce the game and commentate it.
You mentioned before a little bit different than in Nebraska with the Big 12 and everybody's attention on it. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, the TVs were changed.
Yeah. You know, it started out, Big 12 games was on, and was watching it, and then next thing you know, it switched over to the USC game, and wasn't all you were able to see was just kind of the in-game highlights.
Ugh. Well, except for the excitement at the end, you didn't really miss that much. You know, defensively, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great defensively.
You guys play any dime at Ohio? Dime coverage, 7 defensive backs?
Yeah, we have a little bit of dime. We do a lot more nickel, though. We do quite a bit of nickel, but we do have some dime for if we know we need to have another DB in there.
It's Ohio and Marshall. They play at 1 o'clock the day after Christmas, December 26th, in the Little Caesars Bowl. Noah, any swag you know you're getting besides a lot of pizza?
I don't know yet. I know we'll probably, you know, I'm hoping we can get, I need a new watch and need some electronics, I think, so hoping for one of those.
You're in your junior year. Mm-hmm. Are you 21 yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can go to the casinos in Detroit. That's a good thing. No, because I heard... It's either Trouble or Casinos in Detroit. That's all there is.
That's it?
That's it. Troubles, Casino. Casino, Trouble.
Kind of the same thing. Noah, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks all for right. coming in and being with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks and take care of Marshall, all right?
All right, we will.
Can you guarantee us a victory right here on the Doug and Daddy?
Guarantee it.
Oh, yes! Yeah, let's see, it's the little things.
Get my bracket out! Get the pool sheet! Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up, we'll talk a little recruiting with Brian Munson, a Big Red Report. Joe DeMeo's coming up. We'll talk a little NFL as well. Again, thanks to Noah Keller for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show back after this.
Hi, I'm a mudflap from JTM Products. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about my job. It's my job to get... It's a dirty job, but at least JTM Products has the knowledge and know-how to make me look pretty. Oh, boy!
Have JTM Products customize your mudflaps. All sizes, cars, trucks, semis, and minivans. A great gift for a car buff. JTM Products can even do custom design and sizes of mudflaps, too. Always affordable prices. Call JTM Products today. 308-338-FLAP. Online at jtmproducts.com.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fawner Park.
Best bet for food and fun. Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Watch and wager on coast-to-coast thoroughbred racing. Afternoons and evenings from 11:25 a.m. daily. Plus, enjoy live draw Keno, NFL football, full menu dining and bar, including snacks, sandwiches, salads, steaks, and the delicious prime rib weekend special. Yours for the fun of it. Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, Grand Island.
Smart people make smart choices. You should make the choice to take the next step in your education at Central Community College.
Prepare for a new career through one of CCC's 34 technical programs. Start working towards a bachelor's degree through CCC's transfer program or earn an associate's degree online. Spring classes start January 11th. Go to cccneb.edu now to check out the online class schedule.
Call 877-222-0780 or log on to cccneb.edu. Smart people, smart choices, Central Community College.
Just arrived at Crossroads Ford in Kearney, 2007 Lincoln MKZs with all-wheel drive. One has a sunroof and one has nav. Both have low miles. Take your pick. Just $22,005. Three 2009 all-wheel drive Ford Edge crossovers with the SEL trim and low miles. Just $27,005. Three 2007 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 XLT pickups. Well-equipped and low miles. Now just $22,009. Four-wheel drive is peace of mind. Stop in and see us today. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Mercury.
Thursday night, it's an AFC North matchup in Cleveland when the Browns host division rival Pittsburgh. Hi, this is Ian Eagle. Join Randy Cross, Laura Oakman, and me for all the action live from Brown Stadium. The Steelers are stumbling and need to stop their four-game losing streak to have any shot at the playoffs. Can Cleveland spoil the Steelers' season, or will Mike Tomlin's squad steady the ship? If it's Thursday night football, it's right here.
The Steelers and Browns, Thursday night on ESPN Radio.
Bitter cold wind chills continue across the area early on yet today. Otherwise, just look for some sunshine to develop with high temperatures up in the mid-teens. Winds will stay to the west-southwest at 5 to 15, back to 7 below tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 9 above.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. Glad to have you along with us. The Dent Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Again, glad to have Noah Keller with us in the first segment of the show today. If you miss any of the show, we've had some great guests already on this week. All you have to do is go to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the Cunningham's Journal link, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft. Check out all the bowl games and NFL contests at Cunningham's during December.
Doug, I'm just obviously going over NFL news and notes and looking up some stuff because we got Joe DeMeo and you got the top 10 list. You got teams that really, San Diego starts the year off not good. Just on an absolute roll right now. Cincinnati, are they in the top five? Those two teams, are they in the top five of power ranking, just general power ranking, so to speak, in everybody's list?
I don't know.
I mean, you look at the other team, the records don't really stack up. You know, there's just not much out there that... I just can't believe that Cincinnati, San Diego, those are two of the top five teams.
Well, Danny, I was pulling some info up here yesterday, and during the snowstorm, I pulled out some of the college stuff, too. The preseason top 10. Always interested to see who's in the preseason top 10 and how that panned out. So let me just look at the coaches poll, the AP poll. I guess you can pick whichever one you want. Florida was number one in the AP poll. Texas was second. They make the national championship. That's how it was. In fact, the top five, six, seven, the top seven were the same in both polls. Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Southern California, Alabama, Ohio State, and Virginia Tech. Oklahoma and Southern Cal obviously didn't live up to their billings. I'd say the rest of them, pretty close. Penn State, 8th, LSU. Then you look at Ole Miss, which we said at the beginning of the year, no way. And Ole Miss tumbled out of the rankings. Oklahoma State hung in there. Cal, no. Georgia, no. Oregon and Boise State, yeah. TCU, yeah, did a lot better than 17th, where they were in the preseason coaches poll and the AP poll. Then you got Utah, Florida State, North Carolina, Iowa, Nebraska, Notre Dame, BYU, Oregon State.
Pretty interesting, I think, when you got to go compare notes like that. I guess I'm looking at things right now going, is this a team? Is this a Super Bowl team? Cincinnati? I cannot see them.
Well, who was in the Super Bowl last year? Arizona?
Yeah.
Who's been in the Super Bowl the last few years? Again, though, Daddy, we go to the last 4 weeks of the season. Somebody steps up and makes a run. Somebody gets on a roll. Very rarely does the team that sets atop the power rankings today win the Super Bowl lately. I mean, Pittsburgh, I don't think, was atop of them this time last year. Obviously, the Giants weren't when they beat New England. It's been a while. And who could that be? That could be a San Diego, no doubt about it. It could be the Philadelphia, New York Giants winner on Sunday, no doubt about it. Some of the teams we kept waiting to make a move, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they've really got to make a move now to get going. Could be the Green Bay Packers. Who knows? There's some teams out there that aren't number one or two and unbeaten like New Orleans and Indy that are going to make a run. Well, let's get back to some college football talk. Brian Munson from Big Red Report joins us here on the Doug and what did I misspeak?
No, not Big Red Report.
Is it? Yeah, Big Red Report.
Okay.
Yeah, what are you doing to me, Daddy? Hey, you evaluate the talent, Daddy. Oh, no, I'll let Brian do that. Brian, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Glad to have you back on the Doug and Daddy show, although I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be and Daddy on this program. But with the games in the break, waiting for the bowl, there's going to be some moving and shaking here with commits and decommits because coaches are going to get out and start seeing kids again. And we've got two kids coming in from junior college in the last 24 hours that sound to be really, really good players. And then we lose a couple of players where Nebraska needs players. Obviously, they need players on offense. I don't think anybody is overly shocked about Tyler Gabbert, but we do lose a little wide receiver out of Louisiana on a Monday in Curtis Carter. What should we be more concerned about as far as the guys coming in and the guys not coming in?
I would be more, I'm more interested in the guys that Nebraska got yesterday, and here's why. I think Jamarcus Hardrick is the kind of guy that can come in and play immediately at Nebraska, and the fact that he's a midterm guy out of Fort Scott, the offensive tackle, 6'7", 315, you're talking about a professional-sized body offensive tackle that legitimately can come in and cure a woe for Nebraska along the offensive line that has just lasted the entire season. Nebraska doesn't have a true answer at left tackle. Mike Smith, you know, he's made a real great effort to bulk up from being a recruited defensive end to slide over to offensive tackle. He's a real athletic guy, but I just don't think that he has the footwork to be able to play Division I offensive tackle against the type of competition as well that Nebraska sees in Oklahoma and the Texases and Texas Tech of the world.
Biggest commitment for Nebraska with Gabbert decommitting is who?
You know, I never really viewed Gabbert as being the top guy in the class. I've always been a bigger fan of Chase Rome and Jay Guy, who are two high school defensive tackles, or I think I think actually Chase Rome is being looked at to potentially play more of that five technique or the defensive end coming out of high school, but they're both mid-year guys. These are players right here that I think are going to be players going to be asked to step up in a short amount of time from when they get there in Nebraska in you know, in early January to be ready to go through, to get prepared during spring ball and then prepare themselves again through the summer to be ready to play in the fall. I've always been a bigger fan of the two high school defensive linemen in Guy and Rome than I was of Gabbert. I think Nebraska's still going to address their quarterback issue and try to get a quarterback in this class. But then again, you don't lose a senior this year to graduation. And so it's not necessarily a pressing need. You still like to go ahead and take a guy every year and have that consistency. But if you don't get one, you shouldn't just go ahead and take one just to get one.
Brian, much smaller class this year, and everybody expected that. What are the needs of this class now as they wrap things up?
You know, I think if you're still looking and you still need to get that quarterback, I think you need to go get a running back. I think the loss of Quentin Castile at the beginning of the year, I don't think anybody really even knows how important Castile would have been to this season, you know, considering the injury that Nebraska got to Burkhead, and, of course, bringing him along slow to start the year out, having to burn the redshirt of Adonte Robinson halfway through the year, and then not seeing him really after when Burkhead came back. I think Nebraska needs to find another running back. I think they're looking for that bowling ball kind of guy like the Burkhead, maybe with another step or two in the 40. I think Nebraska still needs to find a wide receiver, somebody to take the place of Curtis Carter's spot. You know, we just did an article on Kenny Bell this morning, picked up an offer, visiting this weekend. That could be the guy that comes out of Boulder. I think Nebraska's still looking for some secondary help. A guy like Corey Cooper, who Nebraska's brought in, is currently committed to Illinois. I think Nebraska can get a guy like that too and shore up some defensive woes in the secondary.
Any more names that you would have on the horizon that might be interested in the Big Red?
You know, I think Nebraska's really going out there looking for running back, and they're hitting the trails hard for running backs. No names as of yet. I know I've heard a lot of stuff bubbling up, some guys that are committed to other schools, some guys that are uncommitted. Nothing concrete yet that says that there's a total interest both ways that would indicate that they're, you know, coming in for a visit a little bit later on. Of course, Gio Bernard was a guy that Nebraska brought in, and after losing Charlie White at Notre Dame, still has come back and said that he is going to be a commitment to Notre Dame regardless of the head coaching situation there, which is kind of a bummer. Gio's a great player. I still think Nebraska is going to find a running back. It's just going to be a question of where they're going to go look for one.
Brian Munson from Big Red Report joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brian, when you talk to kids out there, what was the feeling, especially the offensive kids, of what or lack of offensive production this year?
You know, The ones that I really nailed down with talking about the offense and stuff like that was Carter and was Gabbert, and that was all in the last 2 weeks. Guys like Quincy Enunwa, who's a wide receiver out of California, and even like a player like Chase Harper, who I went down and scouted at Navarro Junior College, those guys didn't have a lot to say except that there isn't a player like me up at Nebraska currently. And I think that the argument and that same thing could be said for a guy like Gabbert, like Carter. They could go ahead and say, look, the competition is wide open up there. They obviously need people to step up at all positions on offense. The offense was just, you know, let's be honest, it was terrible. So it seems like it's open competition at every level along the offense. They could come in there and make a difference immediately. And I think it's what's very interesting about freshmen, and people don't like sometimes to play them or whatever, but if there is one thing that can be said, they come in there and they want to put forth the effort to get on the field immediately, and that's something that just can't be replaced and it can't be spoken for enough. It's just that passion to want to get back on the field.
Brian Munson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, I guess the big picture, what Husker fan wants to know is, how many more guys do you think are going to be on board by the time the bowl game is played at the end of the month?
So I have the number right now at 16 total commitments in the class. I'm hearing anywhere, you know, from 19 to 21. I think that number 21 is a little high. I'm still thinking you take 3 to 4 guys. I think that there are some guys that even if you do, if you are sitting at 20, you're going to go ahead and open it up and take them. A guy like Owa from Oregon, the big defensive end, who's been visiting Florida and going to take a visit to USC, and Nebraska is right there with him. I think Nebraska is actually in home with him tonight. Which is a big thing since Ndamukong Suh will be on the Home Depot award show on ESPN, you know, picking up more hardware tonight. I mean, that's a huge recruiting tool there for whoever the Nebraska coach is going to be in the living room with him. So I think that they're, you're looking at 19, 20, potentially 21. 21 is pushing it, but that's, of course, if you have to make room for a guy that absolutely just, it doesn't matter if you're fully full there at defensive end or not, you're going to take a guy like Owe no matter what.
Brian, do you like the mix of junior college kids, or what do you like to see in a recruiting class as far as that number?
I like the number that they're going after. Obviously, Bill Callahan, it can be argued that was a little bit too heavy on it, you know, and you don't get a lot of chemistry from those guys. But what you have to do is you have to evaluate those guys, because other teams are going to evaluate them, and you're going to play against them if you don't go out there and recruit them. So Nebraska, by going out there and identifying these critical needs, like an offensive tackle, like a linebacker, or just an athlete that just pops off the paper at you, like they have in Chase Harper, who is just an amazing athlete that can come in there and upgrade some things at the tight end position. I think Nebraska is doing a fine job by going out there and keeping a good balance, keeping it to the critical needs as opposed to building your team around that. I think when you start talking about 3-4 guys potentially coming out of the junior college ranks, maybe on an annual basis, maybe that's higher on an annual basis, that's about the right combination I think you want to see in your recruiting class.
Do you expect this Hardrick to get on the field and play immediately?
Absolutely. I talked to him yesterday. I think he's the kind of guy that when you get him on board, the letter of intent comes through the mail here in the next week or so for Nebraska, or through the fax machine, that they should just go ahead and go to their board, put his name on one of those magnets, and put him up there at first string. I think he's the kind of guy that you expect to come in here and play. And I think that that's expected out of a lot of the junior college guys, especially the midterm guys. There are high expectations for those guys to come in and at least compete for regular playing time as well as potentially a starting time. I think that the offensive line woes are just that bad that Nebraska had to get a guy like Hardrick in this class.
Brian, just something out of curiosity. Do you remember what Ndamukong Suh was rated at coming out of high school?
He was a 4-star. I went down and watched him in the U.S. Army All-American game. That was an exceptional year for Nebraska recruiting-wise. Of course, all the names that year, Marlon Lucky, Harrison Beck, Craig Rowark. You know, not a lot of those guys ever didn't really materialize in Nebraska, but Suh was one of those guys. He had a real good idea, given the frame and the athletic ability that he had for a big man, that he was going to really materialize into something special. A 4-star guy, you know, we're talking about a top 10 still defensive tackle out of Oregon, and was an absolute treat to cover as a recruiting guy, and totally personable. Met his mom a couple weeks ago up there in Nebraska, and she's awesome as well.
Brian, as far as you mentioned quarterbacks being one on Nebraska's wish list in the last 3 or 4, are there a couple big names still out there that haven't made a commitment?
You know, I think that Nebraska is probably going to go back and start re-identifying guys that are going to be non-committed and committed to other schools that they had interest in before. There have been a lot of changes that have taken place, you know, throughout the year. You know, Kansas is down a head coach. Notre Dame is down a head coach. You know, a lot of coaching turnover, like at a school like Tennessee. I would imagine Nebraska is going to open this thing back up nationally and not really care as much as to who's committed where and when, but actually guys that really are going to fit what they're looking for now.
Hey, Brian, thanks for giving us some time this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always great to catch up and hear what's going on with the latest recruiting news. Have a happy holiday and enjoy the bowl season.
You do the same, guys. Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Our NFL Power Rankings are coming up, plus Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, back after this.
Hi, it's Colin Coward. More good news for Vizio. Did you know they have twice the market share as Sony in the United States? Did you know their true LED technology you can get at Costco's Wholesale, Sam's Club, BJ's Wholesale locations near you today? Don't compromise. Go with number one. Go with Vizio. Incredible quality. Their new XVT LCD television delivers the absolute best in picture quality. According to technology editors, their new lines of LCD HD TVs, the most comprehensive on the market. Go with number one. Go with Vizio.
The Home Depot has new lower prices all through the store, which means a Home Depot gift card, which you can get in-store or online, will be the best last-minute gift ever. Your friends will get even more gift for the money, your family will get something they actually want, and you, well, you won't have to worry about all that last-minute wrapping, all thanks to a Home Depot gift card and new lower prices store-wide. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
ESPN ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Bitter cold wind chills continue across the area early on yet today. Otherwise, just look for some sunshine to develop with high temperatures up in the mid-teens. Winds will stay to the west-southwest at 5 to 15, back to 7 below tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 9 above.
I was a highwayman.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to be along with you. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the show, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You okay? You appear to be somewhere else today. Everything okay at home? Everything okay in the Christmas land with
it's
you?
It's real good.
Okay.
It's real good.
I'm just checking because you just seem to be a little more la-la than usual today.
No.
I'm just checking. Everything okay? Are you thinking about the savings you're going to get when you plant DynaGrow out back of your house?
That's one of the things I've been thinking about. At their dependable line of Genuity Smart Stacks, VT3 hybrids, Roundup Ready 2 hybrids, Herculex hybrids, GT3000 AgriSure hybrids, and leading conventional brands. They've got it all at DynaGrow. 1-800-652-9298. 2009 yield results are in, people. Take a look at your several plots throughout central Nebraska. In our listing area, DynaGrow dominated the competition. They continue to do it with new brands, new things that are coming out every year. Try and take a look at, say, DynaGrow VT3 and Herculex Extra. They're eligible for your buy crop insurance program in 2010. Money off. You're saving on crop insurance, saving on the seed. You're saving it all with DynaGrow. 1-800-652-9298. You call that number, they'll set you up with your local DynaGrow dealer. Get a hold of them today.
Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us in just a moment, but right now it's time for this week's NFL Power Rankings.
All right, Douglas, at number 10, I've got a five-way tie. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, New England, Dallas, Jacksonville. Throw them in a hat. I don't know who it is. Those are my number 10 team. Number 9, I've got the Denver Broncos. Continue to make runs. Don't usually get it done in Kansas City. Just go to Kansas City, knock the door down, blow the doors off of the Chiefs. Number 8, the Philadelphia Eagles. Is Westbrook coming back? Is he not? That seems to be the question. I heard yesterday he wasn't. Now he might be ready to go this week. That's just another one of those weapons, along with all the other young weapons they've got to utilize. Number 7, Arizona. Are you ready to make another run at the Super Bowl? You sure looked like it last week when you knocked off Minnesota. Number 6, the Green Bay Packers. Get it done versus Baltimore on Monday night. Number 5, yes, I know that Arizona thumped Minnesota, but I still got Minnesota at number 5, two spots ahead of them. Number 4, the Cincinnati Bengals. I cannot believe they're the fourth best team in football, but nonetheless, that's where I've got them. Number 3, San Diego Superchargers. Weren't all that super early on, but they are certainly supercharging right now. And 1 and 2 remain the same with New Orleans and Indy atop. Will one of those teams go undefeated? We'll have to wait and see if that champagne, the 72 Dolphins, remains on ice.
I think we're pretty close, aren't we? We're pretty close. Yeah, who do you put into the number 10 spot? New York beat Dallas. Dallas beat them on the field everywhere but the scoreboard. The stats, they did. New England looks terrible. Are the Giants number? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to put Dallas in at number 10 when the Giants just beat them, but Dallas has a better record than both the Giants and the New England Patriots. New England has lost two in a row. I don't know what you do with those clowns. I mean, what do you do with those clowns? Dallas at number 10. Denver at number 9. Philadelphia at number 8. Arizona at number 7. Green Bay at number 6. Cincinnati at number 5. Minnesota at number 4. San Diego at number 3. Indianapolis at number 2. New Orleans at number 1. Do you believe that San Diego's won 7 in a row? Unbelievable. Joe DeMeo's waiting for us, so let's hook up. We'll take a break. Be back with Joe right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All eyes are on the Ultimate Football Weekend in Miami, February 4th through 8th, and Phillips Norelco wants to send you there. Go to NorelcoMVP.com now to play football trivia.
Weekly winners will compete in the Phillips Norelco Trivia Bowl at the ESPN Zone in New York, hosted by Mike Greenberg with special guest Mike Ditka.
One big winner gets the trip to Miami. Go to NorelcoMVP.com to play. Also, be sure to check out the complete Phillips Norelco lineup so you can shave like a pro with the number one electric razor. NorelcoMVP.com. Play now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Go to NorelcoMVP.com for official rules.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you could be saving with Geico?
It's the money I am saving with Geico. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, folks, this is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalki Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Bitter cold wind chills continue across the area early on yet today. Otherwise, just look for some sunshine to develop with high temperatures up in the mid-teens. Winds will stay to the west-southwest at 5 to 15, back to 7 below tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 9 above.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Rick Pinkston of the Tri-City Storm is going to Dartmouth. They have a lot of smart kids there, I hear. It's the fall of 2011, so he'll return to play for the Storm next season, unless we trade him away. But suiting up for the Big Green in a couple of years. Storm is home this weekend.
About time.
Yeah, get to do that. So there you go. Hey, Amisco Sports, they're open for you. The weather has cleared up a little bit, and it's time for basketball and wrestling. It's all going on, and it's also time to get gifts for everyone in your family. If you've got Kearney High and Kearney Catholic fans, well, all apparel in stores, 20% off. How about any college or NFL hoodie? 25% off. Maybe send one to Bill Belichick. And youth Nike and Adidas apparel, 50% off. 50% off for youth Nike and Adidas apparel. Also, they've got basketball and wrestling officials gear. Anything you want to plug there, Tony?
Oh, yes. They've got some triple mediums if you need them. Shirts that fit even me.
Letter jackets, tearaways for basketball. Whatever you need, the basketball, the volleyball, the soccer ball, the gym bags to put them in. They've got a great selection of shoes for the whole family as well at Misco Sports on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. As we welcome Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, you can catch all of the very latest with all these injuries going on. It's getting harder and harder to watch the waiver wire. And with the holidays coming up, Joe, you know, I love fantasy football, but I don't want to be sitting there on, Christmas Day, 5 minutes before the game kicks off, trying to see who I should play. Do we got any solutions to this?
Actually, gents, no. I mean, this is the time of year where a lot of these guys are dramatically banged up. And all I can tell you is just check back with Fantasy Players Edge, check on the site once or twice a day. I think, there'll be enough there to get you through the holiday season. We certainly don't want you celebrating Christmas with, the lights and the computer. So it's just that tough time of year where most of these guys are dinged. I have never seen this many running backs on the injury list right now. It's absurd, and some big names, too.
Joe, I want to ask you, starting right there, Brian Westbrook, if you got him, he doesn't know if he's going to play. I don't know if he knows where he's at. What are your thoughts overall on Brian Westbrook?
I look. If I was a Westbrook owner, I would just put him at the bottom of my bench and take a wait and see attitude. He is practicing with the scout team this week. That almost indicates right then and there he will not be playing this week. My guess is they're going to ease him back in. Philadelphia's got plenty of offense without him. Certainly they miss him, but they got plenty of offense without him. And just take a wait-and-see attitude. If you're a Westbrook owner out there, folks, just put him at the bottom of your bench and let the situation dictate what you do. Certainly don't plug him in until you assess how effective he's going to be.
Well, let's get to the question. Stephen Carney wants to know, and it appears maybe he has some problems, Pierre Thomas, Rock Cartwright, or Ganther, and I guess that's a Redskin running back that I'm unfamiliar with. So Ganther, Cartwright, or Pierre Thomas?
Yeah, the answer is Ganther and Pierre Thomas, Steve. Cartwright has lost the starting job. Quentin Ganther, has the starting job. He was the most effective running back on the field for the Redskins last week. 8 carries, 46 yards. Hook him up with Thomas. That's going to be your best bet out of those three.
Joe, need two of these. Gore, Thomas Jones, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, touchdown only.
Gore, a little bit slow. Thomas Jones, Darren Sproles, who is the other?
Pierre Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. Touchdown only?
Touchdown only.
Thomas Jones and Frank Gore make the most sense of that group in a touchdown only format.
Fair enough. We go back to the wide receiver position here. Cotchery, Cribbs, Calvin Johnson, Santana Moss, Ocho Cinco. Need three of them.
Okay. Cotchery, Cribbs, Ocho Cinco, Megatron. Who's the other one?
Calvin Johnson, Santana Moss.
Oh, Santana Moss. This group, Calvin Johnson, Ocho Cinco, and Jericho Cotchery are the best three for this week.
Why would somebody email six guys? You don't know anybody to start, guys? Has Cribbs started all year? Does Cribbs have a touchdown this year?
Does
he have a touchdown outside of a punt return? Outside of a punt return.
And a kickoff return in the same game, which equates in a touchdown-only league to 48 points.
Does he have any other touchdown
receptions? Yes, one or two touchdown receptions.
Okay, there you go. Mark in Minden says, Joe, no questions this week. I have a bye for the first week of the playoffs. Just say hey to Joe for me, and thanks for all the great advice this year. So there you go, another fan for Joe DeMeo.
Well, thanks for the props. Greatly appreciated, and we'll see if we can help you, get the edge and win your league.
I got one for you here, Joe. I got lucky enough to sneak into the playoffs at 7-6 in my league. Normal scoring there with yards and everything like that. One point for every 10 yards receiving. I need to start a receiver between Robert Meacham and Hakeem Nicks.
You can't go away from Robert Meacham right now. I mean, he has been absolutely lights out. He's got a wonderful, wonderful assignment this week going against the Atlanta Falcons, which have one of the worst pass defenses in football, allowing 7.9 yards per pass attempt and 20 aerial touchdowns on the season. The problem that everybody has facing the Saints is who do you cover? And the answer is no one, because they got too many weapons. So look for Colston and Henderson and Meacham to to all do fairly well this week against a very, very thin Atlanta secondary.
Joe DiMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joins us every Thursday. Of course, go to his website for the very latest. Joe, some leagues still allow you to drop an ad at this time of the year, matchups from week to week. You can almost sell out your team if you're just trying to make it to the next week. Is there anybody out there that somebody could possibly go get that would, that, you know, I'm thinking of the guy that, Stephen Carney, that had to play a running back from Washington. I mean, is there somebody out there better that's still available maybe?
Well, the kid from Washington does have a good matchup this week. The Oakland Raiders are horrific on rush defense, allowing 4.6 yards per carry and 18 rushing touchdowns on the season. They're right up there among the, in fact, they are the worst team in the league in allowing rushing touchdowns. So Ganter is not too much of a stretch this week for that particular player. Jason Snelling is another one I think I'd like people to look at. If Michael Turner doesn't go, of course, Jarius Norwood is banged up again. It's been a problem with this guy's entire career. His hip is hurting, and Jason Snelling actually is a nice matchup against New Orleans because it'll be important for Atlanta, even if Ryan does play, to try and keep the ball out of Breeze's hands. And the only way to do that is to control the clock. The Saints can be run against. They allow about 4.5 yards per carry. So Jason Snelling could become a very nice play if Michael Turner is sidelined. You know, it's late in the season, guys, so there's not a lot left on waivers. But if you need a quarterback this week, David Garrard and Jason Campbell, another Redskin I'm giving you guys. It must be Redskin week for me.
Oh, God.
But Campbell came off a big game against. He actually shocked the Saints. He had an amazing game, 367 and 3 scores. Oakland's pass defense is dreadful with the exception of Asumaga. That's why I didn't recommend Santana Moss to one of the emails, because Asumaga will pick up Santana Moss, but everybody else will go wild because Oakland can't stop anybody in the air or on the ground. As for receivers, any Saints you can get. Devery Henderson is out there. You know, you can certainly use him this week. He's got a decent matchup. And be careful with Hines Ward tonight, folks. I don't know that he goes to the party.
Joe, you brought up Jason Snelling. What's the status of Williams at Carolina? Is Stewart a play this week?
D'Angelo Williams practiced fully yesterday, and I want to see how he does today. I've got folks in Carolina watching him as we speak. I want to make sure there's no after effects. An ankle's a funny thing. It doesn't take much to aggravate it. I think D'Angelo Williams will play. That means that Jonathan Stewart running against New England this week becomes no more than a flex start. New England is fairly easy to run against, about 4.3 yards per carry. But the thing with New England is they've only allowed three rushing touchdowns all season. That's in deference to Vince Wilfork, who's about 1,000 pounds and clogs up the middle as well as anybody on those goal line plunges. So you can make Jonathan Stewart a marginal play at flex. If D'Angelo Williams is in the game, you've got to play him.
Joe, just interested, if you were doing a draft for next year, who would be the number one pick right now?
Chris Johnson.
All right.
Without even blinking an eye. Chris Johnson has clearly established himself as one of the most lethal and potent weapons in fantasy football. And his performance year to date has been nothing short of extraordinary. In fact, in standard scoring formats, 10 yards, that type of thing, he's got a 32-point lead on Maurice Jones-Drew and a 43-point lead on Adrian Peterson. Enough said.
Well, we will let that finish things up for today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, thanks so much for the insight, as always, and we'll catch up with you again next Thursday and see how many people are still left in the playoffs as they head home in this 2009 season. As always, thanks for the time.
Yeah, you guys are fabulous. Thank you all, and certainly I look forward to coming back on next week, see if we can help the folks in the greater Kearney area get to that playoff finale. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe. And, of course, check the website out, fantasyplayersedge.com. Well, that takes us to the end of another Doug and Daddy show here on ESPN Radio. Hastings College men's and women's basketball teams were both winners last night. The Nebraska women 9-0 after beating Creighton. The Nebraska men will host Chicago State tonight, then Oregon State on Saturday. You can hear tonight's game at 7:05 on the Doug and Daddy, or on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Daddy, you shake your head about Chicago State. I do too. But look at Kansas's schedule. They just beat Radford last night. Get real, people. Yeah, you played UCLA at UCLA. Big whoop. You played Memphis. Big, yeah.
Played Alcorn State too at Kansas.
You played Oakland. You played a bunch of just non middle of the road teams. So there you go. We will be back with you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike Perenio, race and sportsbook director in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay, will be joining us tomorrow on the show, talking about the great week they had last week and maybe what's still ahead, talking about the bowl spreads as well. Todd Heinrichs from the Lincoln Journal Star to preview the Nebraska volleyball match tomorrow night, going to join us as well. We want to thank our guests today, Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Noah Keller of the Ohio Bobcats, and, of course, Joe DeMann.
We'll see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.